Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Beis. We began the 12th parak yesterday, which deals with some of the actual halachos of Chalitza itself. And we pick up 7 lines down from the top of Kuf Beis Omer Aleph with the words Omer Rabba, Omer of Kahana, Omer Rav. We're going to have 2 opinions of Amarayim, Rabba and Rav Yosef, as to what the Shita of Rav Kahana, Omer Rav was. And the first opinion is Rabba, and he says, "Im Yavu Eliyahu, if Eliyahu Novi were to come tomorrow and tell us the Omar Cholzin b'Minol that it is permissible to be doing chalitza with the type of footwear called a minol, which we had brought down in the Mishnah and said that that's not ideal. Ideally, we should use a sandal, but a minol would be acceptable with the evidence according to our Mishnah." And Rabba says, "Im Rav Kahana Omar Rav, that if Eliyahu were to come and tell us that lechatchila you're allowed to be chole through the minol, shalom, we would listen to him." And we would stop having the gzeira that we put into place. And if he were to tell us, however, ein cholzin b'sandal, that we're not allowed to do chalitza with a sandal, which is already the accepted way to do chalitza, ein shalom, that we wouldn't listen to Eliyahu Navi. And the reasoning is, shekvar nagu ha'om b'sandal, because everyone already has been used to using a sandal for chalitza, and for Eliyahu to come and now make a gzeira that we can't use it, because midrash it's good, so we wouldn't listen to such a gzeira. Now, normally we say lo b'shamayimi. So there's a very interesting understanding that Eliyahu functions in both worlds. Eliyahu is a malach, and when he's a malach, so then he can't paskin shalish for us. But there is a concept of tishbi yitaritz kushus v'yibayos, that Eliyahu comes back to this world as a human being. When he's a human being, he can in fact paskin shalish. So if Eliyahu were to come and tell us that one can do chalitz with a minol l'chatchila, we would listen to him. That's what Rabbi says. But if he were to tell us that we can't do chalitza with a sandal, we wouldn't listen to him. That was Rabba's opinion. Rav Yosef, Omer Rav Kahana, Omer Rav. Rav Yosef had the understanding from Rav Kahana, Omer Rav. Im Yavu Eliyahu v'yomar ein cholzin b'mino. If he were to tell us that you're not allowed to do chalitza with mino, so then shalom lo, we would in fact listen to him, and we wouldn't follow the din d'oraisa that it says that you could do chalitza with a mino. But if he were to tell us ein cholzin b'sandal, here Rabba and Rav Yosef say the same thing, then we wouldn't listen to him. Shomolo, Shikvar Nogu, or Amisandu, because everybody's getting used to, they've all already had all the time the din of chalitza with a sandal, so we wouldn't make a gzera, we wouldn't accept the Eliyahu telling us that there's a gzera that we shouldn't do with a sandal. Now the Gemara says, what's the daf gemino? What's the difference between these two understandings of Rav Kahana and Rav? Rabba's understanding versus Rav Yosef's understanding. So the difference is, ikar b'nayu, minol l'chadchila. Are you allowed to use a minol l'chadchila? According to Rabba, yes, Eliyahu would come and tell us you can use the minol l'chadchila, so we would do away with our dirabanan, and we would use the minol l'chadchila, because there's nothing wrong with diraisa. Whereas the opinion of Rav Yosef is that if Eliyahu would come and say, don't use the minol, so then we would listen to him and we wouldn't use the minol. So Rabba actually tells us that we need Eliyahu to come and tell us that we can use the minol, but otherwise l'chachilu we wouldn't use the minol. And Rav Yosef says that l'chachilu we could use the minol, but if Eliyahu were to come and say that we shouldn't use it, so we would stop using it anymore. Now the Gemara says, well, man diyomar afilu l'chachilu, according to Rav Yosef, who says that l'chachilu you would be allowed to use it until Eliyahu comes along, but now, but we learned in our Mishnah that it's seemingly only be the Yevon. That implies the Yevon in l'chachila lo. Our Mishnah seems to be saying, not like Rav Yosef understands it. Rav Yosef says l'chachila, you're allowed to use it, and if only Eliyahu comes along and says we can't, then we wouldn't do it. But our Mishnah seems to say that it's only bid the Yevon that we're allowed to use the minol. So the Gemara says no. Pu'adin the afilu l'chachila. In fact, our Mishnah goes like the understanding that Rav Yosef had, that l'chachila you're allowed to go and l'chachila use a minol. And it's only if Eliyahu comes and says that we can't, then we wouldn't. And he says, that's really the halacha. L'chatchila, you can use the minol. Either why did the Mishnah use the lashon b'di'evet? Cholzo b'minol implies chalitzasik shir only b'di'evet. But Heidi, the boy, the sefer had to tell us that when using the ampilia, the sock, then it's only chalitzasik psula. Even b'di'evet, it's no good. Dafilu d'evet, it's no good. So therefore, Tonanami Reisha d'evet. So therefore, we use the lashon in the Reisha of b'di'evet as well, even though the Reisha is technically l'chatchila. The Gemara continues and says, "O minol l'chachila tenaihi." And this concept, can you or can you not use a minol l'chachila, is actually a machlokes tanoim. It's 2 different opinions as to what Rav Meir holds. And Rav Meir says as follows: "O minol l'chachila tenaihi detanya." Because Linda Valley writes, "So Amar Rav Yosi said, Pamachas olachti l'nitzivim. Matzasi zokin echad. One time I went to Nitzivim and I found there a zokin echad, an older man, and I asked him, Amarti lo klum atobaki." Do you happen to know the great Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseru who lived over here in this town in Nitzivim? And this Zokin said, Omar Li, yes, hey, I know him very, very well. Bial Shulchani, who taught it. He used to frequent my table all the time. He would be a regular member at my table. He's been biased by me. And Rav Yossi asked him, Klumra Esau, Shecholatz bi Yavama? Did you ever watch him do a chalitza? Did you ever observe how the great review of the Masechta did a chalitza? And this Zokin said, yes, many times. Amar Li Ra'isi, Shecholatz harbi pamim. Many times I saw him do a chalitza. No, Rav Yossi asked him, what did he do for chalitza? B'minol or b'sando? Did he use a minol, which some say l'chatrila is good, like we just brought down, and others say no, it's not, or should he use a sando? What did Rav Yudin Masera do? So this Zokin said, Omar Li, he said to Rav Yossi, b'ki cholzen b'minol? He said, are you allowed to use a minol? Now, the next words that we have, Atorah Omar Na'alo, b'lo minolo, both Rashi, Tosfos, and many of the other Rishonim, are not goris. And that's what we have in parentheses over here. And Rashi says it's inappropriate here because we never find in the Torah a description of a shoe as a minol. It only uses as nal. In any event, so it won't be goris, the parentheses over here. And he asked, this Zokin asked Rav Yossi, really, the chicholz of a minol? Does anybody hold that you're allowed to do chalitz with a minol? And Rav Yossi told him, yes, Amarti lo, MK. Then how did Rav Meir say that you could do bidyevet if you use the minol, there would be good bidyevet? Because if this wasn't the case, then why would it be good bidyevet? And that was the first opinion that we had of Rav Meir. The Rav Yaakov, remember Shmuel, Rav Yaakov says in the name of Rav Meir, cholso b'minol l'chatchila. So here we see from this braisa that there's a machlokes as to what Rav Meir's opinion was. The first opinion is that he says it's only good bidyevet. And the second opinion, Rav Yaakov's opinion that Rav Meir holds, says that it's good even l'chatchila. So here you see that it's a machlokes tanoim, can you or can you not use a minol l'chatchila? Now, according to this Tanakama of Rav Meir, who says Rav Meir's opinion is that l'chatchila you're not allowed to use it my timer. What's the reasoning? If you're going to tell me, if you're going to tell me, because there's a panta, Rashi says panta is the gav haminol, the back of the minol, which means like the top of the minol, and that's directly upon the yavam's foot. And therefore, the arkisa, Rashi says, is sroch nal. We have the pasuk, famous pasuk, when Avraham Avinu talks to Melech Sodom. He tells him, imichut v'yatsroch nal, imekach nikola shaloch, and parshas lech lecha. And he says that, I won't take from you even a sruch nal, which the targum there says is arkeso de besano, which is the strap on a shoe. Shekofli ritzus al oznov, family kishnei no'olim, ze al gavzeh. So Rashi says they would have the regular shoe and then they would have straps on top of it, so it's almost as if you had two shoes. You have the regular shoe and then the straps on the top, which are considered the second shoe. And therefore, this opinion who holds that you shouldn't use the minol l'chatchila says as follows. A Torah Omra Me'al. You should go and do the chalitza from Me'al on the foot, but below Me'al the Mal, but not from something on top of the thing that's on top of the foot. And therefore, if you were to allow this type of a chalitza to be done with a minnow, you may end up doing Me'al the Mal. And therefore, that's no good. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, I feel it with the Evan Namilo. So then that wouldn't even be good with the Evan. So that can't be the reasoning. So what is the reasoning for Rav Meir saying that l'chachila it isn't supposed to be done, but b'diavad it would be good? So the Gemara gives us two gezeiros that are possible over here. Number one, either it's gezeiro mishum minol merupat. It may be a gezeiro because of a minol that is ripped. A minol that is ripped is called merupat. Rashi says, mevuka karua milamala. It's broken or cut or ripped at the top. And Rashi continues and says, the kivan derochich, since it's very soft, the minhol, we said from yesterday, is soft leather. The sandal is a much harder leather and fits much more tightly to the foot. So with this softer minhol, afogav dekorua mesiv lo akari, even though it's ripped, it will still be on the foot. However, avos sandal shukasha and yochol liyashua raglo mishenivches, the lek lemigzamidi. So here, with the minhol that is ripped, we have to make a gzera. If we allow you to use a regular minnow, you may come to use a minnow that is ripped, which is not allowed because that's not tightly fitting around your foot. As opposed to the sandal, even if it's torn, it's going to be tightly around your foot. And therefore, there's no reason to make a gzera by a sandal, but we do have to make a gzera by the minnow. You shouldn't use a minnow merupa, therefore, we don't let you use a regular minnow as well. That's the first potential gzera. Inami, alternatively, the Gemara says, the other gzera is mishum chatzi minnow, because if we allow you to use a minnow, so you may end up using a chatzi minnow, a part of a minnow. Now, here, the situation is that it may be too small, and it wouldn't cover up most of the foot. And if it doesn't cover up most of the foot, you're not going to be able to do a proper chalitza. And apparently, people would sometimes wear a half of a minhag, but nobody ever wore a half a sandal. And therefore, that's why they had to make a zera, that you shouldn't use a minhag lechatchila, because you may end up using a chatzi minhag, whereas by a sandal, there was no such need for such a zera. Now we have a number of statements by Rav. The first one will be by Rav alone, and then we'll have three statements by Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So first one is Amar Rav, ilav de chamise lechavive. If it wasn't for the fact that I saw, chamise means that I saw, lechavive means my dear one, my uncle, meaning Rav Chia. Rav was a nephew of Rav Chia, both through his mother and through his father. Rav Chia, as we mentioned many times, Rav Chia was the brother of both Rav's father and Rav's sister. Now they were obviously not related to each other. This was stepchildren of the same parents, not half children. So therefore, Rav Chia actually was the brother of Rav's father, and he was also the brother of Rav's mother. In any event, he always is referred to by Rav as Chavibi, my dear uncle. And Rav said, if it wasn't for the fact that I saw my dear uncle, who was the Gadol HaDor, the Chalitz B'Sando, the Isle Shinsen, who did a chalitza, a lot of chalitza being performed with a sando that had on it Shinsen. Rashi says a Shinsen are this astral, which means straps, the noach l'cholzo, and it was very easy to undo those straps. It wasn't the fact that I saw that Rav Chia allowed a chalitza with straps on a sandal. Rav says, I personally would never have allowed it. Ana lo havai chalitzna ela b'sandla d'taya. I never would have allowed it with straps. I only would have used the straight Arab sandal, the sandal d'taya, the mihadak tvei, that was very tightly fit around the foot. And again, as we're going to learn, chalitza has to be that the Yavama actually takes the sandal off the foot of the Yavam. It can't be that it comes off in any way. It can't be that it just slips off. She has to actively take it off. So it has to be on tightly for her to actively take it off. So if a Rav said, if it wasn't the fact that sort of Ruchia did this with a sandal with straps, I wouldn't have done it so. Baha'i didan, and this sandal that we have nowadays, Afal gav de isbe chumrasa, even though it has a chumrasa, Rashi explains, this chumrasa is a certain type of kesher, kosher al-sfasav. It has a certain type of knot at the lip of the foot. Umamido shelo yetziv in a regel, and this keeps the foot tied in tightly into the sandal that the foot doesn't slip out. Nevertheless, afilu hochi, b'shas chalitza, since Rav saw his uncle, Bidavka, have a sandal that had straps, so he said that we do chalitza over here, we add additional straps. We add additional straps on this sandal. So that she should undo those straps, take them off, and then take the foot off. And in this way, we fulfill definitely this idea that she's removing the shoe from his foot. And that's what the Gemara tells us now. Even though our regular sandals have a knot in them, nevertheless, Katrinum be missed. So we go and tie a strap around this shoe of ours, in order to guarantee that we're doing an absolutely correct chalitza. Now the Gemara is going to give us three statements that Rav Yehuda makes in the name of Rav, and we have a simen. Again, the simonim were often put in. There's a school of the Seder, and I mention this all the time, and there were mnemonics to help them remember they did all of this by heart. So this simon is for three statements that Rav Yehuda is making in the name of Rav. One of them is dealing with Hataras, Yavama, and Sandal. These three, which we'll now explain what they are. The first one is as follows. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Hataras Yavama Lashuk. The way a Yavama becomes Muteras Lashuk, she has a proper chalitza, is Bishmitas Rov HaEkev. That has to be that the woman, the Yavama, who does the chalitza on her Yavam, has to remove most of the shoe from the foot. Rov HaEkev has to be off most of the heel of the foot. More questions, it says, really? Most of the heel? Meisvei. Hutru Ritzuos Minol the Sandal. If the woman is going to undo the man's footwear, however, before she does so, it slipped off. It was a loose-fitting loafer, and it slipped off. Hutru Ritzuos Minol the Sandal. The straps of his shoe wear, either a minol or a sandal, undid themselves. They became loosened on their own. Or Oshishamat Rova Regal. Or he slipped out of his footwear without her taking it off from him, and it uncovered most of his foot. Chalitzasa Psula. In this situation, even if she does the rest of it, that's not considered a good chalitza, even vidyevit. Now, we see from this Braisa, Taima de Shamaru, that implies it's only because he let it slip off his foot. He slipped it off. implication being, Hashem Tehi, if she had taken it off most of his foot, Chalitza Sikshere, it would be good Chalitza. Now, that says, Rov HaRegel in Rov HaEkev Lo. But it's talking about Sheshama Rov HaRegel, and not Rov HaEkev. The Ekev is just the heel. The Regel is the entire foot. So it seems to be, from this Brisa, that she has to do most of the foot, and not like Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, it's enough that she does most of the Ekev. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a stira, it's not a problem, lo. Hainu Rov HaRegel, Hainu Rov HaEkev. No, they both mean the same thing. Rov HaRegel and Rov HaEkev mean the same thing. I correlate Rov HaRegel, so why do you call it most of the heel if it really means most of the foot? So because the Gemara says, the kula chela dekara alei dochis, because the majority of the support of the leg comes from the heel. So that's why the heel is called the regel also. And therefore, as long as it's done most of the foot, it's also called most of the heel, and therefore it means the same thing, and she has to do the majority of it. As long as she did the majority of it, it's fine, and this isn't the stira to what Yehuda and Rav said, because they agree that most of the ekev really means most of the foot. Mara says, Nesaila le Rav Yane, and this understanding is in accord with what Rav Yane said. What did Rav Yane say? The Amar Rav Yane said, Dein shehitir hu. Whether he was the one that loosened the straps, Yishamti, and then she took it off, or Ben Shatirahi, she unloosened the straps, Yishamadu, and he took it off. Both of those situations, where she only did half of it, Chalitzas of Psula, it's not good. It's only good, Achihitir, he, Bitashmit, he. She has to go and untie the straps, and also take off the shoe from his foot. If she only did one of the two, it's no good. This is exactly in accord with the Bryce's understanding that we just explained. Now we have a Shaila, boy Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda asks the following question. What happens if instead of taking the shoe off his foot, Kura'asu Mahu, she ripped it, she tore the shoe, and it fell off. So is that considered that she took it off, or is that not considered that she took it off? After all, she tore it, and the foot is revealed. Or do we say, no, she didn't remove the shoe from the foot. It fell off after she tore it. Likewise, Surafasu Mahu, if she burnt it off, don't ask me how she exactly does this without burning his foot, but she burns it off. She takes some sort of a laser or some sort of a fire, and she burns off the shoe, so it falls off his foot. So, mahu, do we say, galya karabina, you need, in either of these situations where the foot was either, the shoe was either ripped or it was burnt off, that you need to uncover the leg, and bottom line is, she caused the uncovering of the leg, galya karabina, vayika, and she did it. Or do we say, no, she has to actually take the shoe off the foot. And here she didn't take it off. She ripped it and burnt it, and then it came off on its own. So it's not called the Vala Chalitza, even by the other. So Gemara says, Teku, we have to wait till Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Tish B'Yitar, it's Kushan B'Yabayis. How do we paskin this until now? So in Shulchan Aruch, the Torah brings down that we always go L'Chumra in these situations, and the Mechaber paskins as well, L'Chumra, that in this situation, if you ripped it and it fell off, or you burnt it and it fell off, the Chalitza would be no good, and you have to repeat the Chalitza. Rav Nechemiah asked Rabbi the following Shaila, what happens if a person is wearing two shoes? Shnei Minolim, Zal Gavzeh, Mahu. He has a Minol, and then he has a Minol on top of the Minol. The closest I could come to think of something like this would be if a person had on his regular shoes, and then he put some sort of a boot on top of it, or galoshes on top of it. So that's the only thing I could think of when we have two shoes. But in those days, as we'll see, they used to sometimes wear two shoes. So Shnei Minolim Zal Gavzeh, Mahu. If you have two pairs of shoes, what does the woman have to do in order to make a correct chalitza? So the Gemara asks, hey, what are we talking about? If we're talking about this shofar, say, li'iloi, that she took off the top one, the koi tatoi, but the bottom one is still there. So then what's the shayla? So the Torah tells us that she has to remove the shoe from his foot. And therefore, it certainly would not be good if she removed the shoe that was on top of the shoe that was on top of his foot. It says, and certainly, if she only took off the outer shoe and didn't take off the inner shoe, what would be the havamina to say that that's good? So that can't be what the question was that Rabbi Nechemiah asked Rabbah, because clearly the answer in that situation would be that it's no good. So the Gemara says, what was his question? His question was only in the following scenario. The karate de li'oloi, she ripped the upper shoe, ushlaf de li'tatoi, but she took off the bottom shoe. The ko'iloi, but the upper one never actually fell off. So the upper one is still there, but she took off the bottom one. Again, the actual physical circumstances of this, I'm not sure, but by ripping the top one, she was able to slip her hand in and take off the bottom one without actually dislodging the top one. The bottom line is, what's the halacha here, Mai? Do we say, chalitza bo'inan v'ha'ika, that she had to take off the bottom shoe, which she did. The fact that there's also a top shoe now there, irrelevant. Or do we say, no, odilma, the din is galu yikara bein on the leka, that she has to actually uncover. It's not enough to just take it off, but it also has to be uncovered. And therefore, she didn't accomplish that because the top shoe was still there, and therefore, it would not be good. So that's the kasha that Rav Nechemiah asked Rabba, and we turn to cook beis on the beis for the teretz, and the word says, umi ika ki I got the. Now, the simple understanding of this is, would there ever be such a case that people have these two shoes that you're wearing in this fashion? And the Rebbe says, yes, him. It in fact is the Chazir Rabbanu. That in fact, the rabbis frequently saw the Rebbe Yehuda, the Nafak B'chamsha Zuzei Muke L'shuka. That Rebbe Yehuda, who we find in various places in Shas, had certain medical problems. And as a result, so he would wear lots of pairs of shoes in order to keep himself warm. So he went out with five pairs, the Chamisha Zuzei Muke. Rashi says these are hard shoes, and he says in Arabic they're called Almok, which means shoe. So he would wear five pairs of shoes when he went out to the marketplace. So yes, don't ask the question, how come could this ever happen? Yes, it does, and therefore it's a legitimate question that Rav Nechemiah asked to Rabbah. Tosfos has a different understanding. In the top Tosfos, he says, why are you questioning over here? Do we ever find such a thing? The Gemara asks these questions all the time, and it gives a couple of examples where it's unusual. For example, in the very famous Tosos that tells us about the Gemara that says, if you're born in one Rechem and then you're transferred to another Rechem, so a calf is conceived inside a certain female cow, and then they transfer that womb. They transfer the cow from that womb into another cow's womb. Now, we are only beginning now technologically to be able to consider doing this. There's some animal studies where they've actually transferred an animal from the original womb into an incubator, which is more than an incubator that we normally have, but into an artificial womb outside the animal. But the Warren talks about this like it could actually occur. So we don't find the problem by saying, does this ever actually occur? Could such a situation occur? And yet the Gemara asks such questions. So Tosfos understands this question a little bit differently. He says, "Vamar Ri, the third line in the Tap Tosfos, Devadei Pshita LeShiyachu Lios." That wasn't asking the question, could such a thing happen? Elo Baboyle, he was asking over here, "Umi Havi Chalitza Ki Ay Gavna." Hello, Ein Derech B'Yodem Lino Bo. He says, "Would this be a chalitza? Because this is not the normal way to wear it." So the Gemara says, "Yes, this is the normal way for somebody like Rabbi Yehuda to wear it." So that's the first statement that we have. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Second statement, the second mnemonic is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Yevomo Shehigdilo Beino Achim. We have Nebuchadnezzar situation where Reuven married his wife Rachel. She's a young girl. He was older than her. It was a marriage d'oraisa, but he was much older than her. And then he dies. Now they raise her. She's a young girl, so she's 13 years old. She's 14 years old, and the brothers take pity on her and they raise her in their household. So she's very, very comfortable in that household. And now she falls yibum. She died. Her husband died. Reuven died childless. So she falls yibum to those same brothers who've been raising her. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav tells us, "Muteris linos lechem and achem." She is permitted to go and undergo yibum with one of the brothers. What's the concern? Why not? We don't have to be concerned. That maybe at some point in time, she actually took off the shoe of one of her brothers-in-law, her husband, her dead husband's brother. She maybe helped him out. She took off one of the shoes at one point in time. Ah, that is a chalitza. So we don't have to be concerned about that. The Gemara says, "Time with lo chazina." That's because we don't know for a fact that she did this. Implication being, ho chazina. If we'd actually seen her take off the shoe of one of the brothers, chayshinan, would we really be concerned about that and not let her undergo yibam? We probably have to do a real chalitza just to make sure. But would we not allow her to undergo yibam in that situation? That's not what the Braisa says. Well, Tanya, we learn the following Braisa, that there has to be kavana on both the yavam and the yavama to do chalitza. And if they don't have kavana, it's not a good chalitza. And here in this situation, there was no kavana. And that's what the Braisa says. Well, Tanya, Benchin is kavin who? If the man had kavana, that this is a chalitza that he's about to undergo. But she didn't have any intention of doing chalitza when she takes off his shoe, or vice versa. Benchin is kavni, she intends to do chalitza, but he's just sitting there, and he doesn't realize what she's doing, that she's doing this the same chalitza. Belonis kavinu, he didn't have kavana, so then chalitza is a psula. It's not a good chalitza at all. Achi is kavnu shtem kiachad. Both of them have to have kavana. The woman has to say, "I'm doing this l'shem mitzvahs chalitza," or the action of chalitza, and the man has to say, "Yes, I'm letting her take off my shoe to fulfill the mitzvah of chalitza." So she's muteris l'shuk. So clearly, what are we concerned about over here? There is no concern, even if we did see her take off the shoe, that it had any actual status of chalitza because they didn't have kavana. Shmuel says, "Halchi kama." This is what Reuven Amar Rav said. His chiddush was, even if we saw her take off the shoe of one of her brothers-in-law, We don't have to have any concern that maybe she and he both had kavanah at that time that it was the shem chalitza. That's the first version of the second statement of Yehuda Marav. The second version of the second statement of Yehuda Marav goes as follows: the implication is only because we didn't see him had his shoe removed by his sister-in-law, by the Yavama. So in that situation, there is no chashash. Implication being, ho-chazinon, in fact, choshishin. We would be choshesh. Aye, what about the brisa that says you need kavana? So listen to this. Udekartana, boy, kavana. This brisa that teaches us you need kavana to do a chalitza, that's to be matter her lushuk, to say that she's now muteris to marry anybody else in the world and no longer able to marry the brothers. Hani mili li'ishturi li'ama. That's to say that she's muteris lushuk. However, a chalitza that is even without kavana, while it may not permit it to the shuk, it will asser her unto any of the brothers to do yibum to her. So it's a poor chalitza, but it's enough of a chalitza that none of the brothers can now do yibum with her. They'll mustama have to do a real chalitza with her, so she'll be muteris l'shuk. But if she wants to be muteris l'shuk, that has to have kavana on both the yavam and the yavama. And that's what the Gemara tells us. Hani mili li'istaru li'ama. For her to be permitted to muteris l'shuk, that has to be with kavana on both the yavam and the yavama. Avali achim mifsula, if she just takes off the shoe of one of the brothers, so then in that situation, she would in fact no longer be allowed to have yibum, according to the second version of the statement of Yehuda Amarav. Now we go to the third part of the siman, the third statement of Amar Yehuda Amarav, sandal hatofur bepishtan. If you have the sandal, which is perfectly good when it's alone, it's just a hard leather, so that's the normal sandal. But here, it is stitched up, it is tofur bepishtan, has linen stitching it up. So ein chotzubo. So Yehuda Amarav says you're no longer allowed to use this for chalitza. Why? Because the pasuk shesh nemar for an aleich tochash. This pasuk from Yecheskel, which talks about the tachash. The tachash was something like a unicorn. It was a single horned animal. That was a kosher animal that was around during the times of the Mishkan. It's not clear that it was around before then or afterwards. And this tachash's hide was used for various coverings of the Mishkan. So it says, "Vanalech tachash." I put up these hides of the tachash in the Mishkan. So Tosus brings down. You see from here, Mikana Rabbeinu Tam. This is in Tosus Dira Masa. "Vanalech tachash." The Rabbeinu Tam says, "Shetzar shia minol meor behema tahora the tachash kisiv." That Tosos Rabbeinu Tam says there are those that say that it has to be the shoe that you're doing chalitza with has to be from a kosher hide of an animal, has to be from leather from a kosher animal. However, Rabbeinu Tam himself says Ve'enu Nira. I don't think that's correct. He says even if it was a behema tmeya, it was pig leather, if it was horse's leather, it would still be perfectly good according to the Rabbeinu Tam. In any event, that's the pasuk here to tell us that it can't have pishtan. It has to be or has to be a hide. So Moshe says, so then let's learn this out. Vema tachashin, midiachrin alo, shouldn't be any other animal should be good. So Moshe says, no, nal rebut. The word nal is written more than once, and therefore that tells us that any nal is good, even not from the tachash. No, e nal reba, afilu komili nami. So then why isn't pishtan good? Once it tells me nal, so it tells me anything should be good, even pishtan. So when it says MK Tachash my Hanile, so then why would it tell us Tachash? So it tells us Tachash, it tells us it has to be hide, possibly a kosher hide, according to Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't have to be a kosher hide. Bottom line is that Nal is Ribui to come to teach us that any hide is good, doesn't have to be specifically the Tachash, but it must be a hide because it did say Tachash. Those are the three statements of Yehuda Marav. That is more continuous, says Boy Mine Rabbi Lazar, Rav. Here we have Rabbi Lazar asking Rav the following Shailah. Who shall or? What happens if the shoe itself is made of or? However, utrisiosov, the trisiosov are the straps, shall seyar. They're made out of seyar. Rashi says the seyar here that we're talking about is of a goat. Minotza shall ezim, so it's goat hair. So let's say the hide is made up of a goat skin, and then you have the straps made up of goat hair. Is that good for chalitza or not? That's the question we'll also ask Rav. So Rav tells him, well, why not? After all, milo karina bey vanalech tachash. This is also from the tachash. The hide and the hair are from the tachash, or from a kosher animal, or possibly even from a non-kosher animal. So the hair is also perfectly good. So then, what's your shaila? It's perfectly acceptable. Gemara says, if that's true, yachi, then kulo shel seyar nami. If your reasoning is that the seyar is considered part of the animal, so then why can't you use a shoe that is totally made up of seyar? Now, the Nemukhe Yosef, as you can see this in the Mesos HaShas Oz Gimel, brings down But you can't use a shoe that is made totally up of goat's hair. And that's because it's too thick and it's not going to be tight fitting onto the person. And therefore, it won't be a good chalitzas hanal. In any event, so we ask, Kula Shoser Nami, so why isn't it good? So Gemara says, the answer that I just gave you, the Nimuk Yosef expanded on it, how karka mikre, it's not called a shoe, that's called karka. Now this karka is not with an ayin, this doesn't mean ground, it means, Rashi has the word kurka, and again in the Masoros HaShas Oz Gimel, he says this kurka or karka is ke'en minol, it's like a minol, yesh lo shein bifnei atzmo, and it has its own separate name, and therefore it's not considered a minol, and therefore it's not considered something that you can do chalitza with. Now, Gemara asks another question. I'm a layer of Kahana Lishwar, Rav Kahana Ishwar, the following Shiloh. Mimai, dahai, the chol sonalo, miaraglo, mishlof hu. How do we know that taking off the shoe is what the process of chalitza is? Maybe it means putting on the shoe. So, first we're getting a pasuk that shows it means taking off, and then we'll go have a whole bunch of psukim that show that it means putting on. So, the Gemara says first, so you have a house that has a nega. So the din is, if it has a certain type of tzaras in the house, so you have to remove those stones. You remove those stones. So you see, the lashon chalitza is the lashon of removing something. So you have to remove the stones from the house that have the nega. The Gemara says, maybe it means veimo zeruzehu. Rashi explains zeruzehu means shenot loson me'al gav karka. Here's the karka with an ayin. Umenoliso biraglo. Maybe it means that you pick the shoe off from the floor and you put it onto the yavam. Maybe that's what it means. Now, why would you think that? Because we have another pasuk that says, hecholsu mi'itchem anoshim atzava. Go and prepare. Hecholsu means here really prepare. Go and get ready people to serve in the army. So therefore, maybe hecholsu means to put on, and therefore, when we say chalitza, it means to put the shoe on the person's foot, on the oven's foot, not to take it off. So it says, no, even that pasuk, which we said, hecholtzu mi'itchem anoshim atzav, it doesn't mean to just put on the shoe, it means hosim nami shalufei mi'besa, take it out of the house, remove it from the house, l'krova, and go bring it to the battle and get the soldiers ready to put on their armor, their footwear, whatever it is that they need. So therefore, even in this pasuk, hecholtzu means to remove from the house and bring it to the battlefield. Where it says, no, we still got another pasuk, loksiv, yechaletz oni be'onyo. This pasuk from Iyov says that you have to support, yechaletz, the poor people in their status of being very, very poor, in their state of being destitute. Now, it means that you have to support them, to put a shoe on them, so to say. You have to go and yechaletz oni, to help them out. As Rashi says, kolomo yizar zenu v'yitin lo koach. You have to give him strength. And therefore, it implies that you're putting something on him. You're giving him something as opposed to taking something away. So when it says, no, again, here we're going to darshan this, that it means removing something. What does it mean to remove? Bishar onyo yechaletzu midina shel gehenim. In the schar of his poverty. His poverty is good for him, so it will remove him from the din of Gehenna. So this person might have done some bad things. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him in this world with poverty rather than giving him the din of having to go to Gehenna. And therefore, he's being removed from the din of Gehenna. And that's what it means. Chalitz only be on yo. So again, chalitza means to remove. Ayyimor says, how are you going to understand the following pasuk? The angels of HaKadosh Baruch Hu around the person, that are around the person, and they support him. Again, they prepare him. So again, it seems to imply that you're putting your shoe on rather than taking your shoe off. So again, the work is the same terrace. Because of those that fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will lose out on having to go to Gehenna. They will be removed from Gehenna. And that's what the understanding is. So every one of the psukim that had the word chalitza in it, or a cognate word to chalitza, they all mean to remove. Or is not giving up yet. The pasuk says, "V'yatzmo secha yachlitz," and you will strengthen your bones. Now here it can't be to remove the bones. This is the most important of the brachos that we find in Yeshaya, that he gave 11 brachos to a person who is poor. Now, this can't be that just removed from Gehenna, because then it's no better than the others which are removed from Gehenna. So this must be something different than just removing him from Gehenna. So it can't be understood the same way. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, what does it mean? Zu me'ula shel brachos, that it's the best of all the brachos. V'amar Rav, it means zeruze garme. You're strengthening his bones. In other words, you're doing something positive as opposed to something removing. So you see clearly, v'atzmosecha yachlit, the word yachlit means to add something to it, support it, so to say, put the shoe on, rather than to take the shoe off. So finally, we get to the clear pasuk that says that, yes, cholates doesn't mean to take off, it could mean to put on. And the word says you're 100% right, in. That's correct. So the word chalitza, mashmahachi, sometimes it means to take off, and sometimes it could mean to take on. And theoretically, we could go back and darshan all those psukim that we just said, it means yichalzu v'dinim she'enem, to darshan in the more simple way that we originally wanted to. It means to support the ani, it means to support the soldiers. It means to support the people that are a Yirei Shemayim. Sometimes it means to take off, sometimes to mean it puts on. You have to look at the context. And therefore, if you want to say that the Hocha by Chalitza Iso Kedaiter Zeruzehu, that it also means to put the shoe on the foot of the Yavam, so then the Torah should have said, Imkei Lichto Rechmana, the Torah should have written, V'cholza Nalo Miraglo. The Torah should have said that you take the shoe on his foot, Biraglo. Why did it say me'al raglo? That implies that you take the shoe off the foot. Or it says no. Ikos rachmona biraglo. If the Torah had just written biraglo, I would have said havamina biraglo in bishoko lo. I would have said that if you put the shoe on his foot, that would fulfill the chalitza, in implying that the word chalitza means to put the shoe on the foot. But if you put it on the shoko, if you put the on the leg, the shoko is the leg, then that's no good. It has to be on the foot bedavka. So Kasa Rachmana me'araglo. That's why it says me'araglo, to teach us dafilu bishoko, that even on the leg it's perfectly good. It doesn't have to be put onto the foot. It could be even put onto the leg. So therefore, that's why it says v'cholza nalo me'araglo. So therefore, it could mean, in fact, that it means to put the shoe on the foot, and it just means don't put it on the foot. You can even put it on the leg. So it says no. If that was right, imkain lichta Rachmana bi me'araglo would have said the me'al raglo, my just me'al raglo. Why does it say me'al raglo? That comes to teach us that here we have to understand chalitza means to remove it. Like we all know, that's what chalitza means. Shvamino mishlofu, that the woman has to remove the leg from the person, even though sometimes the word chalitza could mean to put it on, to prepare it. Here it doesn't mean that. Now we digress. There was a min, a certain apostate Jew, most of the time, who asked Rabbi Gamliel the following stira. You're telling me that you're the chosen people. I'm a decholatz le'mari mine. But in fact, you're no longer the chosen people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did chalitza with you. And that you are no longer the husband-wife relationship of Chai Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're chalutza. You're no longer connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where do you get this from? Because the pasuk says, the city says in Hosea, Bitzonam uvivkoram yelchu levakish Hashem. You're going to want to bring korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to bring your sheep and cattle to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Below Yimtso, but you're not going to find the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? Chalatz mehem. Now, the simple reasoning this min said to Rabbi Gamliel is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has withdrawn from you. He's done chalitza. He's separated from you. So that's what the min told Rabbi Gamliel. What does Rabbi Gamliel say back to this silly min? You fool, that's not what it means. When Lil tells him, Mikasiv Cholatz Lohem, does it say HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Chalitza to them? It says Cholatz Mehem Ksiv. They did Chalitza, so to say, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what would be the law of Ilu Yavama, the Cholzu? Now, here, so we have his law, but the Bach says it should be Minot. So, if a Yavama were to have her shoe taken off by the man, the Cholzu Minot, Achim, if the brothers took her shoe off, would that accomplish anything? Midei mishasha isbe? Would there even be a chashash? Would there be any substantive change over here? No. She would still require chalitza. They could even still do yibam. So too, the pasuk is describing that we removed ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, never did chalitza with us. So we, unfortunately, left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that doesn't in any way go and cut the strong zika that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the min was totally wrong. No matter what we've done, we still are connected very closely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Bampilya with socks, chalitzas psula v'chule. You can't do chalitz with socks. So that implies, the word says, Lameimra, the Ampilya lav minalu. That implies that a sock is not considered a shoe. That's why it's no good. You can't do chalitza with a sock. but utna nami. But we learned in the following Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Shkolim, where it tells us, ein atorim nichnas, the person who's taking the funds out from the Trumas HaLishka, these are the funds that were collected by all of Klai Yisrael to go and purchase korbanos for that year, for the fiscal year, running from Nisan 1 until the last day of Adar in the next year. So they went in three times during the year to take out funds, and these were the funds that were purchasing the communal korbanos and other things like that. So it says the person going in there to take out the funds has to be above suspicion. Nobody can in any way think in any way that he maybe took some money out for his own personal usage. So in a Torah, the one who goes in there is not allowed to go in there. In a Torah, nichnos lo the pargod chofus. That means he's not allowed to go in there with a garment that has a hem on it, because one would be concerned that people can think that he slips in money into that hem. Lo ben pilya, and he can't go in with socks because people can say he's slipping his money into his socks. Likewise, Ben Tzarech Lomar, certainly if we're worried about socks, certainly not going to put on shoes. Ben Tzarech Lomar, the minnow of a sandal. Now, what do you see from here? Doesn't even have to tell us about a minnow and a sandal, because you're never allowed to go into the Azara with a minnow and a sandal. But the fact that it separates minnow and sandal from an ampilia comes to teach us that an ampilia is not called a minnow or a sandal. Otherwise, it would have been included. It didn't have to tell us about minnow and sandal because they're separate Isurim, but it had to tell us about ampilia because ampilia is not a minnow and a sandal. So therefore, that's what our Mishnah is teaching us. The word questions is, it says Raminu, but wait a second. It says, Echa minnow v'sandal ve'anpilya lo yitayel behem. It says on Yom Kippur, the Gemara in Yuma tells us that you're not allowed to wear leather footwear on Yom Kippur. That's one of the five Inuyim. And it says there, Beferish, you're not allowed to go and wear a minnow, a sandal, or a sock. So, lo mi bayis labayis, not from one house to another house, and not even within your own house. Lo mi mita lamita, not even from one room to another room, from one bed to another bed. So clearly, you see that a sock does have the status of being a minnow or a sandal. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, no, there's no steer over here, because there is Bei Kesise. We're talking here with a sock that has small shmatas on it. Kesise are like the shmatas on it, and the reason why you're not allowed to go and wear them is Mishum Tanog. It's going to be very pleasurable. It's going to be soft and comfortable for your foot, and that's why you can't use it, but not because it's a shoe. The question Abaye, Amar Rava, Rava says, Abaye, that can't be right. Are you not allowed to get any pleasure in your kippur? Where does it say that you're not allowed to get pleasure in your kippur? It says you can't do these five. You have to do these five afflictions. You can't not do these five afflictions, but it doesn't say you can't have an enjoyable other pleasure on Yom Kippur. So you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, but you can't smooth your foot. You can't put something comfortable on your foot. If you're wearing a slipper, if you're wearing your sneakers, they can't be comfortable. They have to be uncomfortable. That doesn't make any sense. I'll show you that this is wrong. For Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Rabbi Rav Huna was a great tzaddik. Korich sudra akare v'nofik. He would bedavka go wrap his foot in some sort of a soft kerchief and go outside with it. So he didn't walk barefoot. He didn't put on shoes, but he didn't walk barefoot. He's allowed to put something on his feet to make it comfortable. So that can't be the reasoning. And Abaye, you're wrong. So what's the right answer? Elam Rav. Rav says lo kasha. The reason why there's no stira, one place we say that ampilya is considered footwear, one place we seem to say ampilya is not considered footwear, is kam ampilya shall or kam ampilya shall beg it. It depends what the ampilya is made of. If the sock is made up of a hide, so then you're right, 100%. You're not allowed to wear it on Yom Kippur. However, if the sock is made up of a beged, of some sort of a clothing, of a garment that's not a hide, so then you're not allowed to go into the lishka to do trumas lishka, because you could put some money in it and people would suspect you of doing so, but there certainly is no concern that it's a shoe. Therefore, you can't do chalitza with it, and therefore there's no stira. Depends, an ampilya with an R versus an ampilya with a beged. It works as a shay that I'm right. It makes good sense to say this. Because if you don't hold like this, to say that there's two different types of ampilya, so then you have a kashi Yom Kippur or Yom Kippur. Then it's contradictory within the din of Yom Kippur, because the Tanya, we have a brayse that says lo yitayel adam bekur dekisin besoch beso. A person isn't allowed to wear these kur dekisin. What are these kur dekisin? So Rashi tells us that these are a certain type of minolim dakim, very thin types of a certain shoe called the minol shenolim tachas minolim oven. They would wear it underneath these thicker minolim lohagim in hamayim, and they would keep your feet dry. And they were called a certain type of foreign language word, as Rashi says in German. In any event, that's what this is. The Braisa says, you're not allowed to wear these kur de kise. However, avu matayilu b'yam pilin b'sol besa, but you can't wear the socks in your house. So we certainly say one brisa you can't wear the socks, the other brisa you can't wear the socks. Oh, elalav shmamina, kamban pil yushal or, which says you can't wear the socks, that's when they're made out of a hide, leather. Kamban pil yushal beggar, but they're made out of a cloth material, so then you can wear them, shmamina. Oh, this is a good raya. And in fact, we have another brisa that supports Rava, Tanya Kavasi the Rava. The brisa says, hold so binel hanifros shechofes Rava regel, if the chalitza was done with a minol that was ripped, it was torn, but nevertheless it still covered up most of the regel, so then b'dieved, that's good to do it. B'sandal hanifchos shevakabos rov regel, likewise, if the sandal was torn, but it still covers most of the regel, it's also good b'dieved. And likewise, b'sandal shosham, and the gersa we have is shosiv, but Rashi has b'sham v'gemi. And these are hard rashes, it's koshnu umeginu, and they protect the leg. So these are various types of produce that grow, the sham, siv, or gemi, and there's also acceptable to do chalitza with. Or bekaf hakiteya, if the person, Rachman San, has an amputation, and it's below knee amputation, so that doesn't ruin it in and of itself. He does have a foot, and he has some sort of a prosthetic, a wooden foot. So if you remove the shoe from this prosthetic foot, that's also good. Or bimuk, if the person is wearing some sort of a felt footwear. Rashi explains that muk means a certain foreign language word, shalabat, that's made out of felt, and it's hard, kosher, umegin. It also protects the foot. Or bismichas or a glide. If a person, unfortunately, is unable to walk, he's paralyzed, so he drags his feet in order that his feet don't get torn, so he puts some sort of a foot support, some sort of a protection on his feet. So this is also, bidyevet, a good chalitza if you remove the smichas or a glide, the shoes that are on this smichas or a glide. Or banpil yushal ar, if it's an actual leather sock. So then, you can't wear it on Yom Kippur, but it is good to be performing chalitza. Or acholetzis min agadol. Somebody does chalitza with a girl who's a gadola. In all these situations, we turn to Kuf Kimel min Aleph, ben omed, ben yoshed, ben muto, whether the person is standing, whether the person is sitting, or whether the person is leaning. Leaning is interesting in halacha. Sometimes if a person is leaning, it can be if he's standing. If you were to remove the thing that he's leaning on and he wouldn't fall down, so then halacha is considered as if he's standing, at least b'dieved. And if you were to remove the thing that he's leaning on and fall flat down on his face, then he's considered halacha as if he's sitting. So if a person who should be doing chalitza in a standing up position because it's in front of a beis din, so if he did it standing, certainly that's good, but even if he did it leaning or even if he did it sitting, it's still acceptable b'dieved. And finally, b'choletzis v'nasuma, if you do chalitza from a blind person, you might have thought that, as we said, the dayanim, at least theoretically, have to be able to see the spittle, so you might have thought that the yavam has to see the spittle as well, so comes to teach us in all of these situations, no, every one of these b'dieved chalitzosik sheva, all of these are perfectly good. However, avol b'mino hanifros, if it's ripped, shein chofes v'regla, no longer covers up most of the leg. Or the sandal, it's not a minnow, it's a sandal that's torn, but it's not covering up most of the leg. In this situation, or if it's the supports for your hands, the person has to crawl, so he also has to protect his hands, but it's not talking about the supports for his feet. In all of these situations, and likewise, if it's an anpilya, the sock that's made out of a cloth material or some other garment material, not leather, some of this chalitza from the katan, from the Yavim who is a katan, so then in all of these situations, even with the Evan, chalitzos of Pesula, these aren't a good chalitza. So here we have a raya that the Ampilya Shalar is considered leather, and this brisa is in support of what Rava said, that we make a distinction between Ampilya Shalbeget versus Ampilya Shalar. Now, this brisa is done with what we're interested in, but Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick up at this point tomorrow. We'll continue discussing a little bit more about this brisa, but with this we conclude today's shiur.